Welcome to Desiree's Radio.
Pregnant? Oh, I wish. If I was pregnant, I wouldn't have anemia, okay? That too. Speaking of that. Okay, so I went to the major doctor appointment. They did ultrasounds. This was like 2 days ago. It was one of those days. And I should have had an on-road podcast about just a bitch. First, they gave me the mammogram thing, right? They're squishing the hell out of my boobs. And the lady thought I was crazy. I go, you know what? I think you guys create cancer doing this. She goes, why is that? I go, because everybody who gets these mammograms end up with cancer. And then people who don't get them, they're fine. And I think you guys break something in there. She starts laughing, but I was like, no. Especially if you're big busted, you know, you can feel things breaking because they're squishing that fucking thing all the way down. And so I got in a fight with her. Not a fight, but kind of an argument because she's laughing like I'm ignorant. But no, I think there's something to it. I think there's something to it. It's not made to be squished like that. I mean, how would guys like it if you guys had to stick your balls on a plate and we squished it down and took a picture? You know darn well something's going to break in there. Right, Jackie? Like, something's going to break in there. You don't squish them like that. You're not supposed to squish them. See, if I was an A, I don't know, maybe an A cup would be just as difficult as someone who's a D cup, you know? I only say this because they would try to extend your breast, right? Because they have to extend it to the plate. So I would think that's just as painful. And then if you're big busted, they want to get the whole thing. So I think they would both have problems. Maybe the more medium cups, probably not so much. Because they don't have so much mass and they're able to put it on the thing. But now, their new technology, I lucked out. They would have a major breakthrough technology if they can make like a bra that you put your arms in and just rest your breast in there and they could take a whole picture. Tell my hubby that. It's like, yeah, A cup would be just as hard, you know, I think. Just as difficult. Okay, so then I got that ultrasound. 10 minutes later, I had to go to the other ultrasound. This ultrasound is tricky. Not to tell you guys my business, but I will because it's my podcast. But, you know, you never know. There might be other women who are going to go through this. So I have pretty severe anemia, right? And it has to do with my cycles, of course. So, but my cycles won't stop. That's the problem. They won't stop. So I had to get the ultrasound. And I was just like, so they have to probe you, you know, to take the picture. Like, you actually get probed. And so I'm just like laying there. And I felt so weird because the girl's got to be like, I would say maybe 23 years old, you know, the radiologist or whatever. And I was just like, I felt so weird. Like, I was just like, what the hell? But I went through that. I got that done. Then I had to go give people rides and stuff. And then I started heading home. And this is all in like 108 degrees heat. So I get out and there's a Starbucks and they were closed. They're freaking closed. So I couldn't even get my iced coffee so I could drive around. Then finally, I go, okay, I'm going to drive home. Start driving home, I get the severe pain going from my bad ankle up, like just shooting. And I couldn't even drive. Like, I could, my heel, you know how when you drive, you have one on the gas, and then your heel kind of just like, your foot kind of just rests on the heel. I mean, maybe if you're short. I don't know, maybe tall people don't have this problem. But you kind of have to like rest your foot on the side. I couldn't even rest it. And it just so happened I passed by my other doc. You know, there's all the same doctors, but in different locations. But I passed by the urgent care and I was going to go pick up my meds anyways. So I said, can you guys check my leg? Because I think I broke it or something. I thought it was longer. All right. I had my surgery. I don't know if those who remember, I had my ankle surgery in November 30th. So they said, it's going to take about 8 months. Okay, I said, okay. So the cast and everything came. I had to wear it for what? 12 weeks. That's 3 months. So I figure, okay, 5 months of just being careful with it. That's what I thought. Oh, no, I was supposed to wear the boot this whole time. And I go, well, I was walking on it fine. I go, so I'm thinking, they go, it's not even 8 months yet. And I said, yeah, sure it has.
It's only been 7 months.
But I thought it was 8 months. I don't know what I was thinking in my head. Like, and so I was like, what? So they gave me the x-ray. And this is all one day, right, mind you. I finally found out. I finally had a doctor that really told me what's wrong with my leg. Because for the life of me, I mean, I know it's in bad shape. But, you know, how doctors are. Oh, we fixed it. Oh, just do this, do that. But this one actually explained. I go, I don't understand it because I just had a surgery, you know, with the new technology. And I'm still having problems. And I'm always having problems by my calf. And he goes, well, you have a break there. And I was like, what? Come to find out, I have 3 breaks on my leg. Only one got kind of fixed. And I knew the bones never singed. Like, so the plate and everything, there's a big gap in my bone, right? Like, kind of picture like a straight line. And then there's a break. And in that break, there's a big gap. The plate and everything kind of compensates for that thing. Well, up above, when you get to my calves, there's other breaks, but they were unable to fix them. So this whole time, he goes, so technically, I'm walking around with a broken leg. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't they tell me that? So guess what I got? So I was, and I never seen this doctor because it's urgent care, right? So you don't get your normal one. And I was like, then why don't you guys only give me ibuprofen? Because I could really use some good medicine. And he goes, I could give you a prescription for Nurcos for the year if you want. I was like, yes, please. Thank you. I got my Nurcos. I got a guarantee of a year worth of painkillers. Just in case, because I'm like, damn, and my placard already expired. I think I should get permanent placard. Because if my leg is technically broken, give me the fucking disability placard so I don't have to sit there and try to walk so far when it starts going bad, right? Like, why are they giving me such a hard time? So I am so glad this doctor told me this. I made an appointment, you know, and it'll be like in a couple weeks. And I'm going to try to demand my permanent placard because I have to keep renewing. I've renewed it 10 times now. And everybody's saying, why don't you just get a permanent one? And the lady's like, oh, unless you have oxygen concentrator or, you know, something, you can't get it. But if technically I'm walking around with a broken leg, right? They should give it to me. But something's telling me I'm not going to get it. You know, I don't know why the doctor has been giving me such a hard time. They've been making me wait. And part of the reason is because I don't heal well. As long as I have anemia problems, which is blood, you know, I don't heal quickly. And I could have major blood loss. So I know that's one of the reasons that they try to make me wait. And they're like, well, if you just wait till you go through the change. I'm like, I'm trying to tell them, I am not going to go through the change. Okay, it's going to have to be forced. I am not going through it. No one in my freaking family has ever gone through it. Like, I'm trying to tell him, some nationalities, they don't get it. Like, it's not the same, no offense, like, you know, most American women. And I know that. And I've always known that. And is just arguing with these guys. Well, the average American woman will get it like by the time she's 51, 52 years old. And I was like, that's not going to be me. Okay, I had grandmas putting out babies at like 55. Okay, we don't have that. That's the thing. Trying to get my health stuff in order. And it's not like I want to, you know, but it would be nice to live without constantly checking my hemoglobin, constantly having to take iron. You know, so I could just have a normal life. You want some bobo? Well, and the thing is, okay, all these years, which I think I totally healed. I remember I've been talking about my stomach problems and stuff because I spent all those years, and I used to never have health problems, okay? This is all because of the leg. They were giving me ibuprofen, like the 800s. So for years, I was religiously taking them because it's an anti-inflammatory. And at the end of the day, my ankle usually swells up, especially if I'm on my feet all day, it swells up. So I was under the impression, and I should have done my research back then, kind of naive about it. I thought it was like a Tylenol. You know how people just take Tylenol and, well, that's what I thought it was, like a harmless Tylenol aspirin pill. Oh no, you're not supposed to take ibuprofen long terms because it will fuck up your stomach. I figured it out and I think kind of reversed a lot of the stuff. But the way I see it, it's like, why didn't they give me the Vicodin then? If they knew this whole time, but they never told me that there was still breaks in there. And so the doctor's like, well, at least you didn't have it amputated. I go, well, they were thinking about it. And he was like, yeah, I could tell. Because that was one of the things. They were going to amputate my foot. But because they said, oh, well, she's young, you know. It's just like they tried to save my foot. And so that's the best way they could save it. But they just never told me the situation. Like, I didn't know why I was having. Now it makes sense. Now it's like, okay, you know, like a portion of my calves, like sometimes it stings. What it is, it's the bone getting stuck by the stupid muscle. You know, I talk about health a lot, but it's really important that people take control of it because I'm not going to badmouth doctors, but a lot of them, they just kind of like try to cure your symptoms and send you home. Unless you're lucky and you get a really good doctor, like, tries to find the root of the problem. And I just feel like I had to learn the hard way. You know, I just took their word for it, never questioned it. Until the internet. Until I start researching and I really started looking. And the same with the foods, you know, how I'm watching my foods and learning, you know, teaching myself all these things. Because they're not going to tell you. They're not going to explain it to you, you know, unless you come in there with a set of questions, specific questions. So now I do that, but not just questions. I do my own research, and then whatever's missing, I bring it up. And then soon the doctor knew that, like, she couldn't just tell me something quick and passing and send me on my way. I would be like, no, but here are my symptoms, and then according to them, so it has to be one of these. And then she would have to do the blood work to match it. So you kind of got to do your part. They did take blood work to make sure I didn't have a blood clot because that was one of his thoughts. But he said sometimes for the ankle, it's kind of rare. But he just checked and it came out negative. So I was like, okay. Because that scared me. He's like, well, I'm going to tell you, if it comes out positive, then we got to do more ultrasounds and we're going to have to find it. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm all freaking out. But it came out negative. That's what I was getting with this. You know, if they have tests or even if you think you have diabetes or you need to check your sugars, do the research. And if they have kits like this, it's a good thing to, so that when you go in, you have your proof. You know, you're like, okay, you can't just send me away like it's in my head. This is what I found out. That was probably, of all the medications or whatever they've tried to do for me for anxiety, the Valium was the one that helped the most. Like, I was so relaxed. Like, I can't even explain it. And I know it wasn't high. It was just like, it was quiet. You know what I mean? Like, my mind was quiet. And I was like, and the kids were like, oh, wow, this is awesome. You know, because I'm not stressing out. I'm just like, chill. But they only gave me two tablets. And that was it. And I was like, but they say they don't give them out anymore. Like, they don't want to give those anymore. But I think if it's not broken, don't sit there trying to fix it. Okay, that was one of those things that was not broken. It worked. People were using it all those years, and it worked. And then they try to come up with these new psychedelic drug stuff to make money, and those are crappy. The side effects are ridiculous. See, but I'm not addicted. Like, I think the addiction is the feeling, just feeling good like that. I think that would be the addiction part. And if my anxiety, I don't see it, but everybody else does. Like, just in the last 2 weeks, I've had at least three different people tell me that my anxiety was really getting there. Like, but I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Like, to me, it's just normal, you know? But it makes sense. But I was looking up anxiety. Maybe Jackie, you know, maybe Bobo knows. So I was looking up anxiety stuff yesterday. And, like, trying to find, like, a way. I tried the music. I tried meditating. I even tried yoga, you know, like, things to just. And I do go to the gym. That does actually help, but it only helps for a few hours because, you know, exercising actually does something with your chemicals in your brain. It kind of chills you out when you start coming down, you know, from the workout. But my sleep is off because there's no school. I've decided I'm not going. I go back to campus for the studio, but I've decided I'm not going to continue right now. You know, I'm just gonna, actually I'm sewing, but that's another time. I'll share that later. But, so where was I going with this? Yeah, but and you know, the more people I talk to, the more people I realize have it. And I don't know if it's because of the times we are in, you know, the way the world is right now. All this craziness and a lot of stressors. So then I was looking this up and I came up to this thing where they, I took this test and it said I was an indigo adult. And I was like, what the hell is an indigo? You know? And I was reading it and I was like, oh my God, it kind of sounds like me. It talks about, I guess, this indigo people, they sleep like 3 to 4 hours or 2 to 4 hours. They get up, they get real creative, then they go, I don't know, they're just different. But then the more you start, then all of a sudden you're getting to aliens and stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, this is like New Age voodoo stuff. But there was something to it that kind of made sense. And then we're talking about how, like, these indigo people usually get diagnosed with ADD or anxiety, ADHD, you know, some even bipolar disorder, because they are unable to conform to the society, you know, how society tries to train you to conform into this lifestyle so you could work for them, right? And I was like, and so like the indigo person can't do it. Like they will try to do it and they would fall into depression, or because you're taking away their natural thing or something. As you could tell, I only read a few things. Okay, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. Well, yeah, I know, Bobo, it is clinical depression. But the thing is, I know, but see, that's what they're saying, that they diagnose them with these things, but actually it's a part of their personality. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but because they can't conform, the depression comes in because they can't conform, you know, they can't conform to the, the regular thing. Well, I guess that's why it's a good thing I'm not addicted then. I see that's how bad my anxiety is so bad. I read the side effects. The side effects get me so anxious that I won't take the medication. But I know that sometimes I should, like, because I need to sleep. Because you start to crash, like, I don't know if you guys notice. Like, sometimes I forget. Well, I've always been that way. Okay, I guess that's not an excuse. But I forget things. You know, I'll forget. My short-term memory is bad, right? Like, I could tell you something right now, and then 5 hours from now, I'll totally forget what I told you, but I'll remember in like 3 or 4 months. It's really stupid, but I know it's because of my sleep. I did take lithium before, but I honestly think, you know, they misdiagnosed me. And that's why you got to be careful too. Diagnosed me at a time of great loss, which is what happens to a lot of people. That's when it usually comes to the surface. Like, you already have a certain set personality, but sometimes it takes something major in your life to set it, right? To set it off. And that's what happened to me. I survived it, but where I didn't mess up, but where it kind of got bad is at the lowest point, I started getting thoughts because I was just hurting so bad, you know, and I didn't know what to do. So I called this hotline, and I actually called a hotline to try, because I knew something was wrong. I knew, like, what the fuck am I thinking, you know? And I caught myself, but it was because of the devastation we were going through. So sometimes when people are caught in that, they'll overdiagnose you. And what it is, you're going through pain. You're going through mourning, right? You're going through a process where you're just not thinking right. Of course, you're depressed. Of course, you know, some fucked up stuff happened to you. That's going to happen. Years go by, healing happens, all this stuff. I come back to normal, and I'm now the way that I was before that happened. So what it was anxiety. It wasn't bipolar disorder. It was anxiety. But the good thing, where I think is a blessing, was at the time I tried to learn everything I could about it, because I believe, like, when you have something wrong with you, in order for you to beat it is to educate yourself. Know every single thing you can so that you could keep track of your own health, right? So that's what I did. And if I wasn't for that, I don't think I would have been able to help the few people that have come into my life, because I was able to spot it. I was able, because I already had a little bit of knowledge, you know, and I was actually able to help some people. So there was a blessing in a way. So I will never, like, get upset or hate that I had to go through that. It's just like there was a reason. So now everything's normal. I'm back to myself. And yeah, anxiety, I accept that. I know. I flip out. My anxiety is so freaking extreme. It's ridiculous. But now that I know it, right? I know it. I acknowledge it. And I could catch myself. I try. I catch myself when I start freaking out. And then I have to tell myself, okay, this is in your head. Relax. Everything's okay. It's going to be all right. And I'd have to talk myself down. But it'd be nice if I could get some sleep. The walls in this chat are going, Jackie, I was like, the padded room. Yeah, coping skills. Exactly, Bobo. It's the coping. Yeah, panic attack. And I did experience panic attacks. And then I had to learn that the panic attacks and anxiety are two different things. And for a long time, I thought they were the same thing. So I am on blood pressure medicine, but because I kept thinking I was having heart attacks before, but it was my anxiety that would trigger a panic attack. Once I learned it, and that's what I mean, is educate yourself. Once I learned it and realized, and the guy says, you know what, if you had a heart attack, you'd be on the floor. You wouldn't even be here worrying about it. And I was like, Are you sure? And they said, yeah. So just remember that. Remember, if you're still here and you're freaking out, you're not having a heart attack. It was like, so just calm, you know, try to calm yourself down. So the panic attacks started getting less and less. They gave me, I got the lowest freaking dose, but I have blood pressure medicine and I think it's more given to me like a sugar pill, because if I start thinking it's happening, I'll take it's just lisinopril, and it's like the lowest dose you can get. I think it's like 0.5 or something. I'll take it, and all of a sudden, I'll feel better. Like, and I don't know if it's because my head's thinking, okay, you have heart medicine, your blood pressure's going down. You know, like, so stupid. But it works. Okay, it works for me, so I have it there. You have panic attacks when you work? Panic attacks? That visible person's cracking me up. Panic attacks suck. I mean, for those who get them on a regular basis, I feel for it. That is the most, it's so scary. And they could be triggered by whatever, you know. It's once you find the root, you kind of find the root of it. But that's what I mean. Like, if doctors don't tell you, or if you aren't able to research this yourself, or you don't even know what you're researching, you know, but that's where it helped me. Like, the more I learned about mental health and the different areas, the more I got control and, like, Boa said, like, coping skills. And so I could see the sign coming. I could see it coming and try to stop it. But now I'm like, and I had to do this. I was like, okay, I'm kind of putting the stress on myself, you know. I decide, oh, I want to go take classes in this. Now, originally, the taking courses at a university or college was supposed to relax me, because I was like, okay, I'm just taking art. I could, you know, socialize, hang out with my friends, do art, go home, not have the stress of homework, like, you know, stuff like that. But now it's like, oh, the driving out there, stress. So it's not even the class itself, it's the driving, because I have to commute an hour each way, you know, and with the heat. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay home. So now I found another project. So I'm going to start sewing. So Los Angeles is 71 degrees. Oh my God, it must be nice. Oh, it's 89 right now. Look at tomorrow is going to be 111. Oh my God. You know, there was this party out here, and nobody put it on the news. You know how people have been putting on the news, the mass shootings? Somebody went to a party out in Bakersfield and killed all these people. And it never made the news. Like, they just walked in. From what I understand, they, like, walked in. Oh, they said it was a gang shootout. See, first I thought it was a party. And they said they went in there and they killed all these people. So this party had 150 people there that were not invited, and it got out of control. There was gang rivalry in the backyard, and three were thrown out of the party. The males were 16 to 19, returned with guns and opened fire on the whole crowd, and they ended up killing 14 people. But it never made the news. But, you know, to be fair, I mean, this happens, sucks. It happens a lot of places. But from what I know, in this one class, we were talking about with the criminal justice. When it heats up, violence goes up. So, what is it? With the heat, because people get more agitated, right? People get more agitated when it's hot. And also, it's usually summertime. And so, violence goes up. People get all crazy when it's hot. When it's cold, or like, let's say snowy or rainy, crime goes down. District has issued an air alert due to smoke impacts in the San Joaquin, Merce, Fresno, King, Tulare, and Valley portions of Kern County from the fires. Oh, okay. The air quality alert is in effect until July 29th. That's today. Exposure to particle pollution can cause serious health problems, aggravate lung disease, cause asthma attacks, acute bronchitis, and an increase of respiratory infections. Okay, so that makes sense. That's probably what our problem was. Thanks for hanging out. I was waiting for Guy to come back. I caught the end. He sounded like he was driving. I caught the end of his show. So I went over there for a few minutes, and then it just got disconnected. Then I came back to see, because he said if he got disconnected, he would come right back, because it was his last show. So I think he quit. And I go, are you going to quit again? But here, it says last DJ Bad Guy show, the end. So I think he's ending his evil ways, and he's supposed to have, like, a non-evil show from now on, I think. You know, I think it's time. Sometimes it's time to change. You know, sometimes you got to change things up a little bit. I haven't really been on Spreaker too much, but when I do go check it out, it's like dead as hell. Like, there's like nobody around. I'm glad you guys are, but it was hopping. Usually it's hopping during the summer, but I think people are like going on vacation or they found new things. I mean, you got new media now, right? You got new social media stuff too. You should go check them out. Like YouTube. I'm always on YouTube. And I'll say it again. Okay, I'm making this special video from like China. Okay, whatever. When I post it, I'll post it. But like I'm having fun learning all these other things. And then someone else showed me there's another podcasting thing. And I totally forgot what it's called. But it's even easier. Like the app is on your phone and it's still also a radio podcast, but it's totally free. But it still connects to those other things. I totally forgot what it was. Like, I don't even know what the name is, but they showed me that. And then I saw, like, you could get a shopping cart in Facebook, Spotify or Shopify. But I don't know if that's, it sounds kind of cheesy. I mean, I've seen it around, but it's hard for me to trust those things. You know, like eBay, yeah, it's kind of ghetto and all this stuff. But it's been around for so long, like so many people shop from there. And like Amazon too. But these other ones, like they have these Google Shopping and they also have Facebook Shopping. And I'm so scared to try those, like to even just try it out a little bit, you know, because I just want the one shop. But I was watching the Democratic convention and, you know, I started feeling okay about it until last night or the other night. When I heard, like, Bernie left the party, and then I watched it, and she said she just, like, literally stole his platform, and I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, she acknowledged him and stuff, but the politics just stresses me out because of the games they play, and then part of me is like, there's nothing you could really do. You know, these are politicians. There's nothing you could do. I mean, I don't even know what to think. I was just like, I was watching it and it was like, wow, they fought him so hard, right? Then they cheat and then they steal his platform, like a big portion of it. I don't know what to. I don't even know I'm gonna go. I don't even know if I'm gonna. Like in a way, I think they should appreciate that the changes that she did do. Okay, because you could tell she bent and she has taken some of his platform. She wasn't before at all. So in a way, that revolution. Okay, even though he didn't, I think whatever they made him do. He still, altogether, they still managed to make some changes. Because from what I understand, they have taken the superdelegates down by like a third, right? And this is from here on out. Like, so they already did that. And then some of the issues are now her issues. So it did succeed in doing some of that. But then they're so mad because it's just not him. And I understand that, but at the same time, they're not seeing that he did accomplish some of it. It could have been none, right? They could have been complete assholes and not even acknowledge any of those issues. But they did. So in a way, yeah, I agree. Like, some of the stuff, you know, some of the stuff that could be used, they adopted. Not all of it, but some of it. So it's kind of like, all right, so I kind of be happy that they got that. Because most people don't even get that, right? I mean, as far as trying to make changes, that's a big change. Where they got them to knock down the superdelegates by almost a third, yeah, that's pretty good. Because they could have totally ignored that and say, oh, no, we're just doing this from now on, you know. But I think those are the people that were just very, very, not libertarian, but like independents, right? So they weren't even Democrats or Republicans in the first place. Like they're a whole separate party. So I think those are the ones that are really diehard they're not going to, you know what I mean? And I think people who were for Bernie that were already Democrats or whatever are not doing that so bad. So I think it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, he went back to being an independent. So, you know, technically he was an independent. But that's a pretty big achievement when you think about it. He was able to get all these people to make some changes. And that's all you can ask for, right? Until the next election. Like, they need to just stay with politics, not just during the elections. Like, I have a lot of conservative friends from Blog Talk Radio, and they work on the politics, like, all year long. Like, they're involved, like, in all of it. You know, not just during the elections. They watch everything. So that's what they're trying to tell them. Like, okay, if you want to be this involved, then stay involved. Now make sure you vote these people, you know, like, in other areas, not just the presidency. But I don't know if some of them are too young to get it or just stubborn. They were always Democratic issues. Yeah, I guess so, in a way. I did see the clip, and I missed it, the clip where the brother was nominating him, because I didn't want to watch that day. Like, I didn't have the heart. Because that first one, when he got that standing ovation that lasted like 5 minutes, I was crying. I was crying. I was like, oh my God, you know. It was just so, I don't know. But it's like, I couldn't watch it the second day. And then I finally watched the clip, and I guess his brother nominated him. And then I was crying again. And then so today I watched it, and I was crying when I heard Katie sing, because that sucked. I'm sorry, anybody who likes Katy Perry, but that first song she sang was horrible. Like, I don't even know what that was. I'm sorry, Katie. Your live performance sucked. But that's cool, you know. At least they use music and they can't get busted. Like, they're not going to have somebody say, you played our copyright music. So, that was kind of cool. And then, I like Kate. I like her, too. I just didn't like that first song. I don't, probably because I don't know it, you know. So, to me, it was, what is that? What the hell was that? But she's really pretty, though. She is really... I mean, she must be tall. She looks like she's super tall. I like her videos. But every time I see her, now I think of the Illuminati. Because there's all these videos on her, Beyonce, who else? There's this guy in YouTube, and this is... What's his name? I bet you I could look it up right now just from this convention. So he's going to point out every Illuminati sign at the... Okay, how do you spell Illuminati? Illuminati. Okay, I did it wrong. Illuminati. All right, so let's put the last... Just from today... Okay, so now there's Illuminati in the show Wonder Woman. And there's Illuminati in Minecraft. And there's Illuminati. If they're saying Pokemon, I'm going to be pissed off. It's like, now they're going to touch Pokemon too? Jiffy peanut butter in America. Illuminati edition. So I guess the peanut... What the hell? Eat it is not, and I'm not making fun of Illuminati people, okay, but sometimes it gets kind of carried away, because it's like in whatever, like they get to an extreme. Oh, there it is, Pokemon Go. Oh, I'm gonna cuss them out. Pokemon Go is Illuminati. That's what it says. Central Intelligence Agency. That was sick puppies. They're cool. That's called Riptide. It was hot in here. It's like 81 degrees. So I think... Sometimes I don't know. Because I'm like, am I having a hot flash? Is it happening? It's starting to happen. I put something similar like that on my Facebook. You know, I took a picture of my grays that are coming in, my hair. I was talking about it. I was like, oh my God, it's happening. But I found this hair color that has no chemicals in it. So there's actually hair color with none of that PPH or whatever. Because that's what that gave me that allergic reaction. So anything with that in there, I can't do. What is it? Hair color, no chemicals. I don't know. Maybe I could do this, you know. But I'm starting to get used to it. I was telling, somebody made a comment on it on Facebook. And I kind of like it. Like, in a way, every time I wash my hair, it looks worse. Not worse, but there's more and more gray. Like, it's coming in so fast, you know. And it's not like just little pieces. It's like strands of it, right? So every time I wash my hair, unless I'm just noticing it because it's clean or whatever. But, and so in a way I kind of like it because it's like, I've never had colors in my hair before. It's always been brown. So it's something new. But then another way I'm like, oh my God, I look so old. Like, this means I'm really old. Like, everybody's going to know my age now, you know? And so I've been kind of like back and forth. So part of me wants to color it, but I don't want to go through it all over again. But at the same time, I think I'm a little bit too young to just let it just go all gray. Do you know what I mean? But then at the same time, it's something different. I mean, I could always color it. Like, if it comes out looking really bad, I could always color it. But in the meantime, like, I don't know. Anyways, they do have organic, safe hair dye products. And I wonder if I could try it. But then someone told me, like, if you use henna could give you side effects or allergic reactions. And theirs don't go away. Because somebody was, I didn't look it up. They were explaining, like, sometimes people put henna on their hands. And they can get allergic reactions, and it's permanent. Like, it stays there, you know? So you have to kind of be careful. But, yeah. So now they have this new hippie kind of stuff, organic hair dyes. And I will research it. And if it kind of disappears on its own without the line, then maybe I'll try it. Do you know what I mean? That's, because that's my thing. It's like, I don't want the line. No offense if you have that line, but I don't want that. So, so there's some called Herbit, I don't know, Light Mountain, Rainbow Henna, Morocco Method, Pure Henna. See, I can't use the henna ones. But Light Mountain, let me see what Light Mountain is. Light Mountain products. They have nasal cleaning. What? I always trip. You know when you watch the, when you look at yoga stuff, and I always wonder about this, like some yoga sites and stuff, they always have this tongue cleaner and nasal cleaner. And for the longest time, I was like, why is that? But I guess it's for your breathing, you know, to help you breathe. I don't know. But it'd be really hard for me to stick water in my nose. Like, that'd be weird. It's already creepy enough, like, trying to do it to your ears, you know? I don't know. See, nasal cleaning. And when you do the nasal cleaning, you gotta be really careful. You gotta use that other water. What's that water called? Well, I don't know. Distilled water. You can't use faucet water or bottled water or anything like that because it has chemicals in it. So you have to use distilled water. And you should do that for your ears too. But they never say it. But I can't find my hair thing. It just took me to this site. So that one's not working. But you can see all my new stuff on YouTube.